Welcome to Less Trauma Bond, episode number 8. You guys, I am back in my room. Isn't that interesting? Let me know, you guys, in the comments if you like me better in my room or you like me better in the podcast studio. For now, y'all, I am doing it in my room because the podcast studio costs money, okay? And I'm okay with paying for the money aspect of it, but if I'm getting similar views as I would just sitting in my room like I do with my other content and you guys watch it, I'm like, might as well do my podcast in my room. And I bought a whole mic setup, so we're good, y'all. So this episode is going to be about father wounds and daddy issues. So how to heal your father wounds, how to heal your daddy issues, and then also getting into the trauma bond aspect of my story behind my father and healing, truly healing my father wounds. So what I'm going to do first is kind of give you guys a little bit of advice about how to heal your father wounds. And then I'm going to give you guys my story of my father and how I grew up. It's a big thing in the Black community, so I really like to talk about this because majority of my viewers are African American and majority are women. So I like to talk about this because daddy issues and fatherhood is a big problem in our community. It's not seen majority of the time, someone having a father in their life, and if they had a father in their life, the involvement hasn't been consistent, or the love or even the emotional stability hasn't been there. Not for all, but a large amount of the Black community, and especially Black women, and especially Black men, actually. But I'm going to tell you guys how to heal your father wounds and your daddy issues. Story to hopefully heal others. Y'all, by the way, I am a holistic health coach, so I really do help with healing readings. So if you need really a lot of help with understanding your trauma, understanding like your past life, a lot of things like that, I can help you with that. I am also a certified weight loss coach, so I also can help when it comes to the physical weight you're holding on to and also energetic weight. So I do have my website linked in the description box. Otherwise, if you're listening to it on like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can go to imperfectlyfit.org, okay? And I also will put it in the description box of the audio. So you guys, this is why I do the work that I do, because I've been through a lot of trauma. I've been through so much stuff, and I had to finally recognize it and live it and understand it to release it. Because a lot of us really try to suppress things and suppress memories and stuff like that, and that is why we are not able to heal. So how do you heal your father wounds? So the first thing you really need to do is identify the problem, the relationship. So identify what kind of issues were you having with your father or your dad. And how did that affect you growing up? Or how did that make you feel? So really understanding this. And before you even try to like say hold a conversation. Let's say if you want to actually have a conversation with your father about how you grew up or how you were feeling. Make sure you collect your thoughts and really understand yourself and understand how your father made you feel. So make sure maybe you might want to journal and write that down. Like, how did my father make me feel? How was our relationship? How did that affect my relationships? How did it affect my life? So that you're clear. Because sometimes we get into spaces where we're acting out of anger. Some people will reach out to their father and be like, you did this, you did that, or I hate you for this, or blah, 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 blah. And then the father doesn't receive the message because it's aggressive and it's causing now the father to be defensive. Not saying that your father will not still be defensive, even though you are calm and collective in thoroughly explaining yourself, but it gives you a better chance of actually getting your point across, at least so they understand how you feel and being able to release how you feel, and also a higher chance of them being able to receive it and admit that they were wrong, right? So really acknowledging it, writing it down, and then thinking, can I have a conversation? Number two would be like, can I actually have a conversation with my father, right? Because there are some fathers out there, like, that either not there at all, that are absent, like you never seen them before, or you've seen them when you were younger and then they never wanted to be a part of your life. And in that sense, if you can't reach out to them, like you can't find them on Facebook, or you can't find them here, or you can't even mail them a letter or whatever, then in that sense, you have to then go within yourself to maybe even write a letter how you feel. You can write a letter and like write it to your father like, okay, you made me feel this way when you did this, and growing up without you caused these type of things, and this. And maybe these things caused me to not love myself because you left me, so I didn't think I was lovable. Or whatever your message is, if you cannot actually talk to your father, you can write a letter. Even though you have nowhere to send it to, you can write a letter. And you can either rip it up and throw it out. You can either burn it and release it. There's a lot of things you can release and ways you can release it. But that is like, okay, I released it. I put this all out here, and I will no longer let that affect my story. Because sometimes, y'all, even from personal experience, sometimes we can be holding on to our trauma and make that our excuse. Like, oh, my dad wasn't there, that's why, like, I don't know how to treat a man. Or, oh, my dad wasn't there, so that's why I'm inconsistent with people. Or, my dad wasn't there, so that's why I choose toxic men and, like, I like it type of thing. Like, when you finally accept that, yes, my dad did do this when I was a child, but now I'm a woman, now I'm a man, or whatever, and it's time for me to let it go. You don't have to forget it, because it's going to shape you to who the person you are, but it's time to let it go. Now, if you actually do know your father, and there's a way you can communicate, and they're receptive of it, you can actually tell them, hey, I want to meet up and talk about this. Or if you don't feel comfortable, because I know there's a lot of anxiety around it, let's talk on the phone, or let's send voice notes. Can I send you a voice note about how I feel about this? Can we talk on the phone? I would suggest probably talking on the phone. If you can't do a phone call, then maybe doing a voice note. And even if you have their means to communication with them and they may not respond, you can still send a voice note, right? You can still send something. And even if they don't respond, don't have expectations. During this process, you cannot have expectations that, hey, your father is going to take accountability, right? Or your father is going to acknowledge that he was wrong. Or you cannot expect these things, because if it doesn't go that way, you will be very disappointed. You'll be very disappointed, and you'll be angry, and it kind of will start your process over with healing. The whole point of this is to release it off yourself, accepting it happened and that was in the past. Now it's time to live in the present. One quote, and I don't know who it was from, was, if you live in the past, that's depression. If you live in the future, that's anxiety. So you have to live in the present. So if you're truly releasing something, you can tell them, right? And you can express yourself. But if you don't go into it not expecting things, you're going to keep living in the past, because you're going to keep being like, okay, he didn't take accountability. Oh, he did this to me. He did it. And you're going to just revolve on the cycle. So that would be communication. So whatever form you can release that, you need to communicate in whatever form you can. And then the last one is looking at yourself, right? Looking at the qualities you may have picked up from your father, of like, how do they really affect your life? And now that you release that, how can you now become a different person? Like, how can you change and evolve? And how can you embody the version that you wanted him to be? How can you become that for yourself, right? Or how can you become that for your children, or whatever you inspire to do, right? Because now it's time to change. Because once you accept it, because you have to accept it, and you got to thoroughly remember. This is the thing, when you're journaling and you're trying to understand your father wounds, you have to thoroughly remember everything that they did to you, like from the earliest memory to the latest memory, how it made you feel, details. You have to get detailed, because sometimes when we have so much trauma, we get blockages and we forget things, and we choose to subconsciously push things down, and we're still carrying those things. So to release those things, we have to fully acknowledge what the father did to us, how it made us feel, and then release it, communicate about it. Then talk to yourself about, okay, how do I move forward? How do I not let my father continue to ruin my life going forward, or to change me into a woman or a man that I'm not supposed to be, or to make me bitter, or to make me angry? How can I release this and become a better person? And when you understand this, you will learn how to change. And you will learn how to stop blaming others for who you are now since you're adult. And you're able to break generational curses. So, y'all, this next part. So, that is a synopsis. Let me know in the comments if you guys need any more advice. And I'm going to tell you guys my personal experience, you guys. So, with my personal experience, y'all, my father, he passed away. And I think he passed away now probably 6 years ago. But it's pretty much a blur to me because I was in college. I know that for sure. But I don't remember exactly what year. But I think it was about 6 years ago, you guys. And he passed away from cancer. And so during the time, like, I'm going to go back to my childhood. So I never was able to fully have a conversation with my father, right? I had to do the inner work on my own. I couldn't communicate with him because my father was already passed away by the time I was able to understand what he had done to me. Like, I just never really sat down and thought about it. I just always was bitter. So one thing, you guys, when I was younger, my father has been in my life my whole life. So I cannot sit here on the internet and be like, my dad was never there. Like, I didn't know my dad. My dad never took care of me or anything like that. My dad was in my life since I was a baby. So I was born in New York. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. My dad and my mom met in Brooklyn, New York. Do I know their love story? I do not know. I think there's a lot of holes in it. And I think there's a lot of things that my mother is not telling me. And there's a lot of things that my father never told me. So I don't know their love story. I just know how they met. And I just know they met in Brooklyn, New York. So anyways, y'all, I was born in Brooklyn, New York. And I think they only knew each other for like 6 months before my mom got pregnant with me. So my earliest memory, you guys, because eventually about like 5 years old, I ended up moving from New York to North Carolina. So it became a whole thing where I would go visit my dad every summer or whenever I could, like every summer usually. So my earliest memory, was going to my dad's house. And y'all gotta really like envision it, like, because it's like I blocked so many memories out. But my earliest memory was going to my dad's house, and I would always stay at his house in Brooklyn. He had an apartment, and I had a stepsister and I had a stepmom. So he was already remarried, and I had a stepsister, and she was older than me. She was like 16, I don't know, but she was in the teenage years. And so when I would go there in the summer, I would always share a room with her. Like, I would share a room with her, and she would take me places with her and stuff. I remember like even going on the train with her. She took me on the train and all these things. And my earliest memory, every time I would go with my dad, I would always want to go home. This is a vital thing to remember, you guys. Every time I would spend like any time at my father's house, I would beg my mom to come back home, to go back to North Carolina, in tears, practically every time. So the earliest memory, and I'm not trying to be negative, but this is my story. The earliest memory I have is being at his house, and I was at my stepsister's room, and I think it was late at night, and we were in bed, and I just hear her mom screaming, my stepmom, like screaming to the top of her lungs, like almost in a way like she's being abused or something. But I was in the room, so we were both in the room, so we didn't know what was going on. We just heard yelling and stuff, and I don't want to make things up, and if my stepsister sees this, which we're not really stepsisters anymore, but if she does see this, she will be able to vouch for this. But there was a lot of screaming going back and forth between the two of them, and I heard someone say something about a gun. Or somebody was going to get a gun or something like that. Mind you guys, my stepmom used to work in for the police department. I'm not going to say what, but like she used to work for the police department. So I think she was threatening to get her gun because I don't know, y'all. I cannot sit here and lie and say he put his hands on her, but because I wasn't in the room, but I just heard screaming and she said that she was going to get the gun or something. And I don't fully remember if the police came, but I feel like the police were called. So I remember just being in the room with my stepsister crying. And my stepsister just looked so sad. And my stepsister, what I can remember is that she always really felt bad that her mom was choosing my father, to be honest. And honestly, her mom didn't deserve a lot of stuff she went through with my father. And yeah, so that was my earliest memory of like just being at his house. And so like every time I was at his house, I would be ready to go because there's yelling going on, or he was also very verbally abusive. And so my father, what I will say, and I'm going to say at the end how amazing my father is as a person, how he has structured me into this person I am, that how he has, if without him, I wouldn't even be talking to y'all on this podcast, right? Without him, I wouldn't have a story. Without him, I wouldn't be creative. There's a lot of things I really didn't take from my father, and my father did believe in me. And I'm going to tell you guys that at the end. I'm just going to release the things that really actually I endured. So my next earliest memory is that I was a very overweight kid. I was very obese. And that was because I was having a lot of trauma issues. Y'all, I actually wrote a poem about it. I am going to put out a book called Less Trauma Bond. It's going to be a poetry book. So be on the lookout for that. And that poem is going to be in there. I don't think I'm going to read the poem on the internet, but you never know. So anyhow, my biggest memory from being obese is I remember one day we went to go get pizza, me and my father. He said, okay, here you go. Here's the money. Go into the store. And I think at that time, I probably was like 10 or something. I don't know my ages, you guys. But I went into the store and I got two slices of pizza. If you know anything about New York, y'all, those pizzas are big as hell. They big as fuck, the slices, right? But at this point, y'all, I was at home eating a whole box of pizza by myself, right? Because my mom was never really home. So it was like I could eat whatever I wanted and my mom never controlled what I ate. So anyways, y'all, I come back with two slices and he was like, are you fucking serious? Like, you got two slices? You're gonna kill yourself eating all that fucking food? Like, da 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 da. Like, this is how he talks, y'all. And anybody from New York, you know they're very aggressive. And I'm coming from North Carolina where I'm gentle parented. You know what I mean? My mother's gentle. My aunt, she was kind of wild, right? But she was gentle with me, right? And so he was very aggressive, and this made me cry. A lot of times when I was with him, I cried a lot. The same thing happened with my sister. Every time I was with my sister, I cried a lot. And that's a whole nother story. But every time I was with him, I cried a lot because he would always scream at me. And that blocked my throat chakra so much because every time he would be yelling at me, I never felt like I could stand up for myself, that I could use my words, that I could, because it was my father and he was talking so loudly over me that I felt powerless. I felt like I had no voice. And that's a big thing I had to combat with my whole life of like not speaking up for myself, trying to avoid conflict, crying. And then my family used to make me feel so bad for crying. Like, oh, why are you crying? Are you fucking for real? You shouldn't be crying. Oh, you a crybaby, this and that. And so then I started to then mask my emotions, right? So I remember that time in the car and I'm like, wow, like, why is my dad, you know, talking to me this way, yelling at me, cursing me out? And this was a always recurring thing, right? And then I remember, you guys, he was so supportive of my singing career, you guys, because when I was a kid, I really wanted to be a singer. And he was very supportive of my singing career. Like, he told me, you're going to be a singer. I remember even for school, I had dressed up and said I was going to be a singer for career day. And everybody else was doctors and lawyers. I've always been a dreamer. And I do contribute that to my father because my father was a really good jack of all trades. Like, he knew how to produce music. He knew how to draw. He knew how to paint. He knew how to take great photography pictures. He was an artist, right? So I really give my father the credit for that. And so he would record me. I remember this time he did record Less We Belong Together. So every time I listen to that song, We Belong Together, which is by Mariah Carey, it's like it's our song. It's like being my father's song. So it reminds me when it comes up on my playlist, I'm like, okay, my father is trying to speak to me, right? So anyways, he had recorded me when I was very young and I was singing. I was so confident because he made me feel confident. I felt like this is what I was going to do. And then I start trying to do this around my family members, like my cousins and my cousins mostly. And they'd be like, oh, you can't sing, or da 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 da, like, oh, this and that. Like, And so then I was like, oh no, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I started to get stage fright. I was in a co-choir, did solos and everything, because I just knew I was going to be a singer. And I started to get stage fright. So when it was time for me to go back to my dad's house the next summer, he's like, okay, sing. Okay, what song you want to sing to? You need to sing. And I'm like, okay, like, let's sing Let's Take a Bow, or Take a Bow, or whatever, by Rihanna. I remember this, purely. So he puts on Take a Bow, and I'm trying to sing, but I'm nervous. My voice is shaky. I keep trying to turn my back, like, to sing. And he's like, why are you singing like that? Why are you singing like that? Da, 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 da. Like, are you fucking for real? Why are you singing? And that made me even more stressed out. That made me even more anxious that he was screaming and cussing me out. It made me feel like I just didn't want to sing, because not only is my family judging me, but now my dad is yelling at me because of how I'm singing. So I must not be able to sing, and I don't want to do it. So I shut down, and my throat chakra really got blocked a lot, because I wasn't using my creativity and my singing and all that type of things. So I still am struggling with that to this day, and that is something I actually have been working on, is being more willing to sing and stop being so nervous and stop worrying about validation. So that's a lot of things I had to become self-aware about. And then going back into that, you guys, I remember a day that I literally got a whooping. You guys, this was the first time my father ever whooped me. My father was very verbally abusive. Like, he would yell at me, he would cuss me out, make me cry a lot. And every time I was with him, it happened like every day. I'm not even over exaggerating, you guys. I don't remember a loving memory besides before my dad passed, but I don't remember a loving memory where my father just was hugging me and telling me that he loved me so much. I don't remember the last time that he has really made me feel like a little girl, like a daddy's girl. Like, I never had that feeling with him. I always felt like I was a part of an army or something. So, y'all, after that had happened, one of my memories is my stepmother had lied on me. She had said something. I think we went to the car. Maybe she didn't lie on me, but it was something stupid. Like, was in the car or something. And they had this Mercedes, and I used to remember, like, oh my gosh, my dad has a Mercedes, and his wife has a Mercedes. Like, oh, he has so much money. They have this big old house, because they end up moving from Brooklyn, New York to, like, Pennsylvania. So they get this house with the farm, and they had a Mercedes. And I'm like, wow, my dad has all these things. And, like, I am living, I don't know, at that point, I probably was living, like, in the South. I wasn't living nowhere crazy like that. During that time, I had never lived really in the hood for real. But it was just like, I wasn't living on that level where I was in a nice house and had a nice car. And my dad was never financially supporting me, or my mother was never giving my mother money. So at this time, y'all, I remember I had went to some food McDonald's place or something with my stepmother, and I had asked my stepmother for something, maybe like, oh, can I have this or something. It probably was like, oh, can I get a dessert on top of my dinner or something. I have no clue. She went back and told my father that, oh, she was up here wanting to ask for this and this and that. And so then my dad came to me yelling, like, why are you asking for that? You're fucking eating too much. And da 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 da. Like, I can't give you guys his exact words, because a lot of times I would shut down when he would be screaming at me, because I'm literally just crying and I'm a kid, you know what I mean? So at this point, I'm like, okay. And then I remember the first time my father ever gave me a whooping. He only had gave me one whooping in my life, and I remember it was because I used to not like taking baths. I don't know why. I think a lot of kids experience that, don't like showers and baths and stuff, because I deal with that with some of my little cousins. But I used to not like him taking baths and stuff. So he thought that I had faked. He was like, oh, get in the shower. You need to go take a shower. Da, da, da. I'm like, okay. I go in the shower, and I actually take a shower, y'all. Use soap, everything, dry off. I come out the shower, and he's like, you didn't take no damn shower. You wasn't in the shower. You was standing outside the fucking shower. Da da da, da. You're going to get a whooping. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I start crying like I was in the shower. I was dead ass, y'all. I'm not making this. I was in the shower. I was using soap, everything. I was like, I was in the shower. I was taking a bath, and da, 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 da. He was like, you're fucking lying. And he whooped me. I laid on his bed, and he whooped me. And yeah, And I was like, wow, I got a fucking whooping for something I didn't even do. So every time I was at his house, I would cry like, Mom, can you pick me up? Mom, can you get me a plane back? It got to the point where it was so bad. One time my aunt had came to drive down to New York from North Carolina, and she had to pick me up. My mom had to pay her. She had to pick me up and drive me back to North Carolina because I was so ready to go home. And then, so that caused a lot of trauma in my life because A, it closed up my throat chakra, so I had a really bad time with communication. It's something I'm still working on. Like, if I don't like something or if somebody's talking to me a certain way, I only know two different ways to approach it. Either A, shut down like I was when I was a kid, right? Or like how my mom is, or B, become aggressive like my father. So it was like no balance. It would be like, either you done pissed me off, now I gotta go off, or it's like, I'm not gonna say nothing and I'm gonna let you run all over me. So it affected my communication a lot. It affected what type of love I thought I should get from men. Like, I was attracting, as I was older, I was attracting a lot of toxic relationships. So yeah, so that was very hard for me, you guys. Okay, you guys. So the next part I want to talk about with my relationship with me and my father is he was very inconsistent, you guys. So there was a lot of times that he would call me a lot, and then there'll be times when he would just not call me. Like the times that I was in North Carolina, since we live in two different states, he would call me sometimes and then he would just not call me. Then it would be times where he'd be like, oh, I'm going to send you money. I'm going to send you this money to do this. I'm going to buy you this. I'm going to send you this for Christmas. And then it will just never come. So it got to the point where I could never rely on him because he was constantly telling me lies. And I remember, you guys, one time, this was when I was a little bit older, actually. This was like junior high school. I had then moved to Minnesota. And I remember that day when my mom was like, I was like, oh, I want to have a hotel party. And I used to love me a hotel party, y'all. And the thing about me is everything I wanted, I used to get. And that would be another one for my mother wound, podcast episode. But so I kept asking my mom about this hotel party. My mom was like, you need to ask your dad because I'm not paying for it. You need to ask your dad for some money. Your dad needs to do something. Your dad doesn't ever do anything practically, which he didn't, because my dad, we'll get into that, why he never had money. But so you guys, pretty much I start busting out in tears. Like, I'm not calling my dad. Like, he's not going to do anything. He always says he's going to do something. He never does it. Like, I am not calling him. He never does anything he says he's going to do. And I'm like crying and crying. So my mom calls my dad still and then says, oh, here's your daughter. Like, she's crying because she wants to have this hotel party. And practically you need to pay for it or whatever. And then my mom's like, oh, here's the phone. Do you want to get the phone? And I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to him. He's not going to do it. I'm crying and stuff. And he was like, girl, you better get on this phone and talk to me. If you want this money, if you want this hotel money. So, y'all, I ended up getting on the phone call with him. And I was crying and stuff. And he was like, you need to stop crying. Like, you need to talk to me if you want this party. So I talked to him, and that was the second time he's ever done something when he said he was going to do it. And I think it was only because I was crying and I made him feel bad that he, in saying that he wouldn't do it. So then he did it, right? The first time he ever actually did something that he said he was going to do was when I wanted a karaoke machine. So for my birthday, I was singing a lot and all this stuff. And this when I was really younger. And he was like, oh, I'm going to get you a karaoke machine and da, da, da. And I was like, I don't see that happening. Like, I didn't really believe it. And this time, too, I was only, 8 years old. And I didn't believe that he was going to give me a karaoke machine. And I remember on my birthday, my karaoke machine came. And, like, that karaoke machine meant so much to me that my dad actually got me something that he said he would. And I don't know why that makes me feel emotional. Like, that actually makes me want to cry. But I just remember the feeling. Like, I think that's why it's so emotional, because I remember the feeling like, wow, my dad actually did what he said he was going to do. And he got me so many albums. Like, he got me the Usher. I remember he had got me the Usher album. I remember he had got me Destiny Child's albums. And I remember during my birthday party, somebody started singing on my karaoke machine and broke it. And I was so crushed. I was so hurt. Because my dad really, and it was a fancy karaoke machine. Like, you put the CD in, you can sing with it. It was like a boombox. And those was the only two times he ever done something he said he would, right? So it was always, I started to build a trauma against broken promises. Like, if you said you're going to do something, you need to do it. Or it would heighten my anxiety. Like, I would have a lot of anxious attachment styles, especially in relationships. And that's something I had to learn and I had to battle with. It's like, it's not their problem, right? If they say, oh, I'm going to do this, and then they just happen to not be able to do it anymore, that's not their problem. Things happen, and sometimes in life you have to be understanding. So I had to do that a lot, that inner work of like being understanding, not being anxious, not having abandonment issues of like my dad not being there when he said he's going to be there, my dad not calling me when I wasn't there, or when he was, when I wasn't in New York, right, and I was in North Carolina, like the lack of communication. And then when I got older, he started to try to form a better relationship with me, because once I started getting past like the 12, 13 year old times, I used to start saying, I don't want to go to my dad's house for the summers, because every time I went to my dad's house, he always made me feel sad. He always made me feel small, and he always yelled at me, always cussed at me. And I was a very sensitive child. I had been through so much stuff. Like, I had been through so much. My dad didn't even know half the stuff that I've been through. And I think that hurt me the most, that my dad didn't even know what was going on in my household. At my mom's house, he didn't know I was living with an alcoholic. He didn't know my mom was, I don't know if he knew my mom was battling mental health issues, but I feel like he did know. But I don't think he tried to really step up in the way that he should have stepped up. So it was a lot of battles I was going through. But like, as I got older, he would try to keep calling me. And so every time he would call me, because every time he would call me, it would end up in an argument of some way or somehow. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. The man loved to argue. I did not understand him. And so there'd be times I just let him go to voicemail. I would let him go to voicemail. I would let him go to voicemail. And like, it's crazy, because I think the only voicemails I have on my phone is of my father. I'm trying to find one. Wow. Let me see. That is so funny. Why is the first video, like the first, y'all, I can't make this stuff up. Let me try to play it out loud. And mind you guys, I am in a better space with my father. Like, before he passed away, like, he told me he's very proud of me. We had some breakthroughs. I read his book. There's some impactful things. But I'm just telling you, as a child, what I experienced with him. But I'm trying to make this loud. You hear that, Juwanna? Answer your damn phone. At this time, though, I think he was kind of sick because of the sound. That he sounds so low. Yeah, these are very low. But long story short, y'all see the first voicemail that came up. Juwanna, answer your damn phone. I can't make this up. I love this man, though. I love my father. I do. I love my father so much. It was just, I don't know if y'all can even hear the voicemail, but for the people that can hear it, they can hear it. They can't. I have all of my father's voicemails saved, because that's the only thing I have left of his voice. I usually don't even go back and listen to them, but that was just, that gave me a little kiki, because my dad too funny, because yeah, that would be the first voicemail, because he got sweet voicemails too. Like, hey, Juwanna, this is your father. Call me back. Like, that's usually what they were always. But we would play this cat and mouse game of like, he would call me, I would ignore him. He would call me, I would ignore him, because I didn't want to talk to him. Because every time I would talk to him, he would get on my nerves. So then he would have to call me and call me and call me for weeks for me to finally be like, okay, let me pick up. And then that had developed something in my relationships where I started liking to date chasers, like the guys that like to chase you. So when you say you're done, they constantly keep calling you and calling you and begging you and begging you and begging you until you're like, no, okay, let's try it. Let me be with you. And I thought it was cute because that was what I was used to with my father. My father chasing me, trying to beg for my forgiveness. Not even begging for my forgiveness, but just trying to come back into my life to make me forget about everything that happened and just act like we could just go on with life. And that's what also happened in a lot of my relationships. My ex was very much a chaser. Like, anytime when we break up, then okay, now he wants to keep calling me, he wants to keep coming back once he knows that I'm fully trying to level up or move on or do something, you know what I mean? Like, it was like he wouldn't take no for an answer. So anyways, y'all, so I had a lot of inconsistency growing up, and one thing that really sits in my soul, and if you have heard my poetry, y'all, if you haven't, it's on my short feed, just go to my shorts. I wrote a poem about my father, and I remember one day my father told me that I was gonna die in a car accident. I don't know exactly why he told me I was gonna die in a car accident. I wish I could explain it. That is probably the most hurtful thing he's ever told me. I don't know why he said it. I just remember one day we were on the phone and he started screaming like, "Joanna, da, 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 you need to listen to me. You need to listen to me. Da, 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 da. Like, you're going to die. You're going to die in a car accident because you don't obey this. Da, 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 da." I don't even remember everything. I don't know if it was just like religious. I don't know if it was just like I wasn't listening to him. He was just like, "You just don't listen, you don't obey, da da da, and you're gonna go die in a car accident." And I was like, "Are you serious? Are you serious right now?" I think on that call, I cried and I hung up on him. And that was the most download thing he's ever done to me, to be honest. And I didn't really understand my father then. I don't understand how my mama could even be with a man like that. Like, love my father because he was always there for me. My father has never, my father only whooped me one time. He's never done anything when it comes to sexual assault or anything like that towards me. He's never, like, really put his hands on me like that. He has always really fought to have a relationship of some sort with me. He just wasn't. He had nobody there for him as a child. He didn't even know how to be a father. He was fighting a lot of demons that I didn't know about. I didn't know things until I read my father's book. So what ended up happening, you guys, is my father ends up getting really sick. And he's in the hospital with cancer. That was the last time I seen him physically in real life, was at the hospital. And he told me, he was like, "I'm so," because at this point I was in school for my master's. He was like, "I'm so proud of you. Like, you, I just want you to know that you made me so proud and I love you. And I'm just so impressed and happy with what you're doing. Like, I'm so proud of you." And when I told you, that touched me a lot, because my father has never told me that. My father has never told me sweet words. Like, my father did every time we talk say, "I love you," of course, but my father was just never soft with me. Like, oh, that makes me want to cry, y'all. He was never soft with me. Like, I didn't know what it was like to have a father that wanted you to feel like a little girl, wanted you to feel like a soft woman. Instead, I had a father that wanted me to feel like a nigga. Like, I don't know. Like, he had me feeling like, oh my gosh, I gotta be defensive. I gotta, you know what I mean? So anyways, so that was the first time I really felt like, wow. And then, y'all, before he had passed away and I had seen him in the hospital, he told me, he said, "You're gonna be an entrepreneur. You're going to be an entrepreneur." And I was so combative with my father because I never really wanted to believe anything he said because he pissed me off so much. I was like, "I'm not being no entrepreneur. What are you talking about? I'm going to be working in a corporate job. I'm in school for my master's. I am working a corporate job. I am not being an entrepreneur." And look at me, y'all. I literally got 3 businesses and I'm a content creator. And my dad, seen since I was a child, I was going to be a star. Like, I'm not just no regular civilian. And he's seen that in me. And that's why I love my father so much, right? After that happened, you guys, I read his book. He had this book. He kept telling me before he passed away, "Joanna, you need to go get that book. Go buy that book. I put it online. Da, 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 da." And I'm like, "I ain't buying that damn book." "Why am I giving you money? You piss me off all the time." So that's what I was thinking, so limited. Like, why would I give you money? Why would I pay for this when you literally don't support me or you just don't do what you're supposed to do? So y'all, long story short, I read this book and then I found out in the book that he was a past heroin addict. He used to do heroin. I didn't know my father went to jail, but I didn't know a lot. My sisters never told me anything. I didn't really know a lot of his family, because a lot of his family didn't like him either. He used to get into it with everybody. A lot of people did not like him. So I've seen his family here and there, but they weren't very close. And so in the book, he talked about being a heroin addict. If I can find the link, I will put it in the description box, but I don't know. I have to ask my sister maybe. But he talked about being a heroin addict. He talked about his mom being abused when he was a child, and how his mom used to be with different men, how he didn't know his father. There was a lot of stuff in there. And I said, wow, this is why my father was like this, right? It made me humanize my father, even understand him, because he never told me these things. My mom never told me these things. My mom didn't even know some of these things, because she didn't even know who she was having a kid with, right? So that made me humanize him, that drugs, right? Addiction. I do want to do another video about this. Really can mess up the chemistry of your brain. And honestly, the reason why he was so angry, so aggressive, and so not, sometimes it didn't even make sense, and why he was so combative, is probably because of his past drug use and because of him being in a prison. You know what prison does to you, especially in New York, okay? Prison in New York and being on drugs in the past. In New York, just being an aggressive place in general, like, and not having love there, like, not knowing your father, like, he never seen what a father is supposed to be like. So I had to, once I read that book, I said, wow, this makes sense. I was confused. I was like, why is my father like this? And so what I will say about the nice things about my father, we've been through a lot of traumatic stuff, more verbally abusive stuff, but my father has inspired me, right? I wouldn't be sitting here today without my father. I wouldn't be able to have a father wound conversation. I wouldn't be able to share my story. My father pushed me and motivated me to be an entrepreneur. He motivated me to be a singer. Genetically, I'm the reason why I'm so creative is because of my father. I can see my father within me. I do. And I had to, what's it called? I had to do a lot of soul searching. I had to do a lot of releasing. I had to do a lot of healing, because when I would get angry, I would turn into my father. I would cuss people out too. You know what I mean? Or I didn't know how to deliver things. I was always really good at reading and telling people what things were going to happen, but I was so aggressive, especially in a relationship stuff, like, oh, you're being dumb. This is going to happen. Da, 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 da. Instead of saying, hey, like, I know you might make this decision, but I just want you to know, like, just be careful with you, like, more gentle. But I was like, my delivery was so like raw, like a man, because I never was able to be soft. I was never able to be like womanly. So I had to work through that. Also, I had to work through, like, when I drank, and I'm drinking a lot, like, and I'm out, like, I'm just out having a fun time. That's the only time I really drank a lot, is if I'm going out to a club or something. I just am too straightforward. When I'm drunk, I'm too straightforward. I am straight my father, okay? I don't want to give his government name on here. I am straight my father, okay? I don't care what I gotta say, I'm going to say it, okay? I still have a lot of my mother, so I have that quiet side as well, but I had to work on that too. I had to work on my communication, my delivery, and things like that. And when I am too assertive and aggressive, right? I had to break that down and understand my father was human. And he taught me a lot about being creative. He really pushed me to become a singer. He really pushed me to follow my dreams, to be a businesswoman. He actually owned his own store. I got to see a man that had his own. He had his own store in Brooklyn, New York, and he had his own clothing store. And although he had to shut it down, I was able to see my father own something, right? And then I also was able to see a black man with a house, with the farm. I was able to see my dad have these things. Although I do know my dad's wife supplied a lot of those things, right? Because my dad, he stood in his ground of, I'm going to go after my dreams. He didn't care if he didn't have a penny. He would go hustle. He would go out that like on a New York street and he will sell his art. He will go out on a New York street and he will sell you some clothes. Like my dad was a seller. He was an entrepreneur. He was a businessman. And as I am a businesswoman. And I could sell the shoes off somebody, y'all. Like I, in the past, when I was in retail management, I was a top card seller. A lot of my abilities, my creativities come from my father. And another thing is my father was spiritually woken, but he was getting to confusion spots. And I also see those traits in myself, but now I have become very true in my spiritual life and been able to navigate those things, right? So I love my father, and I know my father is watching me. He wants me to be this grand person, and I know that I am going to break these generational curses. And my father, I'm going to be writing my book and my story just like my father, right? And I am just going to be a better version of him, right, into this world, because I am here to heal and just like help people and love people and help people work through this trauma, because somebody got to do it, right, in the Black community. But I love my father, and I forgive my father. And that's what I want to put on the internet is I love my father and I forgive my father. And the words I'm going to leave with you guys before my camera overheats is to never forget, but to forgive, to move forward, to release, to write, to let go, to understand or understand yourself and understand that you're grown now. It's time to take charge of your life, to understand that your parents were human as well. And it's time to forgive, and it's time to understand. Thank you guys for watching this episode of Less Trauma Bond.